The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, Tokers and Tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, October 28th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Boo! Welcome to our Halloween weekend edition of Normal Show Live. We are going to have a great show today. I'm glad you could be here to join us. Now, unfortunately, Cannabis Carrie can't be with us today. She is doing some work and making her way down here to Portland, Oregon. So I'll be handling the news headlines today. Today, in your pre-Halloween weekend news headlines, we've got some scaremongering from the Los Angeles Police Department about marijuana-laced treats for Halloween. The Americans for Safe Access are filing a lawsuit over the medical marijuana crackdown. The city of Chicago is looking to change its policies to ticket offenders for minor marijuana possession rather than arrest them and give them misdemeanors. Fort Collins has taken a look at the arrests for marijuana over the past 5 years and found some very surprising information. And experts in Canada have studied the situation and say that legalization would hurt the gangs in Canada, would hurt gang activity in Canada. This is something we've been bringing up many times here at Normal, that the worst thing for any sort of underground marijuana dealer is legalization. Also on today's show, we get some Rockin' Friday. Herb Thrasher will be joining us later on the show, and he's got some great music for us, more rockin' music, a song called Fifth Dimensional Apprehension. That sounds pretty interesting for Halloween. We've also got Danny Danko joining us. It's the fourth Friday, so Danny Danko from High Times Magazine will be joining us here in the Cultivator's Corner, answering all of your live chat and call-in questions on marijuana cultivation at 971-533-7111. And at the end of the show, we'll have a little bit of time for a radical rant. There's a tragic story out there right now out of Pennsylvania, and the media is blowing it up to try to scare you about synthetic cannabinoids and the use of marijuana in general. We won't let them stand. We won't stand for that. We will hold their feet to the fire. Also, coming up later tonight on the Normal Network, the Halloween edition of Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. He will be in the studio with us tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific time, bringing you some great rock music. And in the second hour, we'll do a little bit of talking about the college and pro football games and the surprise sport of the week. Check it out, Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher, tonight live at 8 p.m. here on the Normal Network. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to take this stupid mask off so I can breathe, and we'll bring you your hemp headlines in the Normal News right after this. Stay tuned. It's the Normal Network. We are Normal Show Live, voice of the marijuana nation. Check us out on the web at stash.normal.org. Follow me on Twitter at Radical Russ or the whole network at Normal Net. We're right back after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Hey, this is Subcool, coming to you live from the second annual Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, and I'm on Normal Radio.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry couldn't be with us today. I'm Radical Russ with your Normal News. Halloween scaremongering is happening now. This is coming from KABC-TV in Los Angeles, California. Marijuana-laced Halloween candy has L.A. sheriffs on alert. That's right. Melissa McBride is reporting this from Monterey Park, California. Halloween time is not all fun and games. Authorities are warning parents about marijuana-laced candy that could end up in their trick-or-treaters' bags. Los Angeles Sheriff's Department and narcotics officials displayed a variety of candy, soda, chocolate, and other snack foods Friday containing concentrated amounts of marijuana that were recently seized from local marijuana dispensaries. While some products are clearly labeled as containing pot, some are not so obviously marked. For example, a box of chocolates may be labeled on the outside, but with the lid off, there's no way to tell that the chocolates inside are laced with marijuana. L.A. County Sheriff's Department Sergeant Glenn Walsh said parents should definitely inspect the candy their children bring home after trick-or-treating. Pot-laced candy and food can also pose a danger to adults, he says. Walsh said a pungent smell or odd taste can serve as indicators on whether food contains marijuana. As for the potency of marijuana-laced products, Walsh says that the level of THC, the chemical found in marijuana, can vary from 0 to over 90%. Yeah. All right. So parents, be very careful out there for this Halloween. Don't let your kids eat any of those treats with 0% THC in them. If it's 0% THC, what's the problem here, right? Oh, and if you find any of that 90% THC stuff, send it my way, okay? Because I've never seen a 90% THC edible. But all right, whatever. Look, this is the stupidest, silliest scaremongering, and it comes around every year. The cops bring out the pictures of the Budda fingers and all of the, you know, the little candy bars with the funny fake names that are for medical marijuana patients and try to scare parents into thinking that there's some sort of worry out there about people putting marijuana-laced treats in the kids' Halloween bags. Look, this is just another version of the long-debunked urban legend about putting the poison or the razor blades in the apples or the pins in the taffy that has never happened. Look it up on Snopes.com. Look up Halloween poisoning, and you can read all about it. I've got a link to it at the blog at stash.normal.org. What it all bore from was a 1974 case where a man purposefully tried to kill his own kid by giving him some cyanide-laced pixie sticks, and in doing so also gave the pixie sticks to his other children. Now, the other children didn't die, but the one kid did. And from that was born this urban legend that there's some sort of mass poisonings going on in Halloween. Notice that Walsh
Walsh was bringing out the dispensary-seized candies, not candies that were seized from Halloween bags the year before. Right. Now, second of all, let's suppose that you are someone that is using marijuana-laced candies, marijuana-laced edibles. Why in the hell would you be putting it in some kid's trick-or-treat bag? Why the hell would you give him a $20 Butta finger when you can give him a 20-cent Butterfinger? It makes no financial sense whatsoever. You'd go broke trying to give marijuana-laced treats to the kids. And who is it out there that would actually do this, that would think, you know what would be fun, is if I took a lot of money and I bought some marijuana-laced candies and I gave them to kids and I'd never see them eat the candies and I'd never see them get high off it, but just knowing they'd be getting high would be enough to get my rocks off. Really? That's what's going on out there? No, this is just more scaremongering from the LAPD, more trying to make people fear marijuana when the people increasingly are not fearing marijuana. All right, in another story here, the Americans for Safe Access, the group in California protecting medical marijuana laws, has filed suit over the U.S. Attorney General and the top federal prosecutor in Northern California, asking a federal court to halt recent raids and threats of prosecution that have significantly stepped up the Obama administration's assault on the state's 15-year-old program. Americans for Safe Access filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in San Francisco that accuses the Obama administration of violating the Constitution's 10th Amendment by using coercive tactics to interfere with powers that are delegated to the states. The four U.S. attorneys in California have dramatically ramped up prosecutions against medical marijuana operations and have advised cities and counties that they cannot adopt regulations that, in effect, authorize the distribution of federally controlled substances. The 17-page lawsuit takes aim at resolving one of the most critical legal issues that remains unsettled, even though voters approved medical marijuana in a groundbreaking initiative in 1996. Because marijuana remains illegal for all uses under federal law, municipalities and states have struggled with how to regulate it for medical use. The federal prosecutors in California have now insisted that cities and counties cannot do anything that actively allows marijuana use, such as permitting dispensaries. A recent California appellate court ruling reached the same conclusion, but other appellate courts in the state have instead ruled that federal law does not trump state medical marijuana law. Well, I'm happy that Americans for Safe Access is going forward with this suit. I don't think they can win it. And the reason why is because I grew up in the 80s, and I remember distinctly the National Minimum Drinking Age Act of 1984, which made it didn't force the states to change their drinking age up to 21. I was in Idaho at the time where it was 19, and we were one of the states that were fighting against this. It didn't force the states to raise their age to 21. It just said, if you don't raise your age to 21, you lose 10% of your federal highway funds. So there's a coercive tactic being used by the federal government to infringe upon a state's right to run their own state's business, you know, stuff that should be a 10th Amendment decision there, right? After the 21st Amendment repealed alcohol prohibition, that left alcohol regulation up to the states. I didn't see any lawsuits there that seemed to have worked. I mean, it seems to me that the federal government's ability to coerce and blackmail the states has been established since this 1984 Minimum Drinking Age Act. Now, if this lawsuit can go and overturn that, I would look forward to it. And again, it's not a mistake to file the lawsuit, because anytime we're talking about it, we're winning. And if we're bringing this issue to the attention of the courts and the public, that's a good thing. I just don't hold out much hope that it can win. Moving to the city of Chicago here from the Chicago Tribune, Chicago aldermen are wading into the controversy over drug enforcement with a proposal to decriminalize possessing small amounts of marijuana in the city. Supporters say the ordinance, which Alderman Daniel Solis plans to introduce at next week's city council meeting, will raise revenue for the city and free up police to chase more serious criminals. If the plan passes, people caught in Chicago with 10 grams or less of marijuana would get a $200 ticket and up to 10 hours of community service instead of facing a misdemeanor charge punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,500 fine. Now, that would be a good thing. Chicago police get tied up making about 23,000 arrests each year for marijuana possession, said Cook County Commissioner John Fritchie, a Democrat who appeared Thursday at a news conference with Solis and other aldermen. Quote, it's not time to act tough on crime. It is time to be smart on crime. We need our resources spent somewhere else, end quote, Fritchie said. Now, this is an interesting point, too, because Alderman Walter Burnett spoke up later on in the story, and I love this quote from Burnett. Quote, I had the opportunity to go to Lollapalooza, Pitchfork, and I think I got contact high being at all those events. Police there and everything. It wasn't predominantly African-American, and guess what? No one got arrested at those events. If that was an African-American event, the jails would probably be filled up. I think it's almost a discrimination issue, end quote. Yeah, nailed it on the head there, Alderman. It's exactly a discrimination issue. You know, the stuff that goes on at a Grateful Dead parking lot or a Further parking lot or a Fish parking lot or any of those jam band parking lots and their open air drug markets wouldn't be tolerated for a second at a Snoop Dogg concert. Wouldn't be tolerated for a second at a Cypress Hill concert, man. So, yeah, he's right about that. Kudos to these aldermen in Chicago for making the right decision moving forward here. And let's hope that they pass this decriminalization effort and allow cops to spend more time on actual crimes. Interesting news here coming out of Fort Collins, Colorado. According to Coloradan.com, marijuana arrests in Fort Collins have remained flat the past 5 years, despite a rise of medical marijuana dispensaries in the past 2 years. Police say marijuana use has increased, but ease of access to medical marijuana licenses has resulted in more users' legal protection. About 296 people are arrested each year in Fort Collins for illicit sales, possession, or production of the drug, and the total hasn't changed by more than three for any of the past 5 years. Steve Ackerman, dispensary owner and president of the Fort Collins Medical Cannabis Association, said the numbers illustrate that dispensaries have done nothing to fuel the illicit market. Fort Collins Police Service Interim Police Chief Jerry Schieger said, more people are under the protective umbrella, and the changing and contradictory state and federal laws regarding medical marijuana in recent years has made enforcement more difficult. Fort Collins voters in Tuesday's election will decide question 300, whether to ban all dispensaries, growing operations, and manufacturing of medical marijuana-infused products from the city. Police are largely concerned about increasing marijuana availability that dispensaries bring to the community, as well as sending a message to the children. Yeah, let's send a message to the children that they shouldn't use the safest therapeutically active substance known to man, a natural herb that grows out of the ground. Teach them that that's wrong and evil, and that they should instead spend their hard-earned money on bar-coded pharmaceutical products with intense side effects, possible lethality, and addiction problems, and 20 to 30 to 40 times the markup they should be. Yeah, let's give them that message. And look, in Fort Collins, they've had around 300 arrests for marijuana for 5 years, even though they've got dispensaries opening up in the past two. So if these dispensaries were diverting marijuana to the black market, wouldn't there be more arrests in the black market? The Fort Collins police chief here tries to say that, no, it's because they're under the protective umbrella. But if they are under the protective umbrella, what they're doing is not black market now, is it? And in our final story, from CTV in Canada, Edmonton, legalizing pot would cut gang violence, according to experts from Vancouver. A new coalition of high-profile health, academic, and justice experts is mounting a campaign to legalize and regulate marijuana in British Columbia, arguing the policy change would reduce gang violence and convert criminal profits into new tax revenues. The push comes as the federal conservative government moves to pass polar opposite legislation, an omnibus crime bill aiming to toughen penalties for drug traffickers along with other law and order measures. Calling itself Stop the Violence BC, the group released its first report Thursday and is pledging to issue further scientific research, poll results, and hold public forums in an effort to pressure politicians toward its cause. Quote, to continue the criminalization of marijuana is, I think, completely out of tune with what's going on in society today, said Ross Lander, a former BC Supreme Court judge for decades, end quote. The coalition's objects meet what I would personally want, that is, stop the useless killings and the violence that attends this drug trade, end quote. The activist efforts are emerging from a province that's well known for its underground marijuana-based economy. The coalition noted a recent estimate by the right-wing Fraser Institute that puts the value of a legal cannabis market at upwards of $7 billion. Members of the group have seen the deleterious effects of such organized crime up close in their jails, courts, and hospitals. They include criminology professors, medical health officers, police, and a retired Royal Canadian Mounted Police chief superintendent. The report, called Breaking the Silence, said the ban on marijuana has not only been a failure, but it has spawned violence while making criminals rich. It points to scientific and public health research proposing that lawmakers regulate pot under a public health framework. And that's the right thing to do. Regulate it. Take it out of the hands of criminals. Marijuana is not going away. Demand's not going away. Legalize it and take the crime out.
It's 20 after the hour. And we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember.
I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Oh, what a perfect day to get into some Rockin' Friday music as we head into the Halloween weekend. We got Herb Thrasher on the phone. What's up, Herb?
Not much, man. Getting ready for this fun Halloween weekend, man. It seems like it's going to be a good one with the weather starting out like this.
Yeah, it's looking good out here in Portland. I hope it's good for everyone else out there. And we've got a Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher tonight, a Halloween edition. Any special plans?
We're going to have some fun, man. We're definitely going to play some. You know, Halloween just makes it feel like hell, and hell makes you feel like death metal and screaming and all kinds of roar and haunted tunes. And so, yeah, I've got some good, fearful, dark, haunted tunes that we're going to play and try to paint my face up a little bit, and we're just going to have fun with it, man.
All right, everybody tune in at 8 o'clock Pacific tonight for our live edition, Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. We've been going about 2 hours lately on this show, too, so stick around. You can call in. We can have a good old time.
Yeah, we have, man. We've just been kind of, the first hour has been a little bit structured. We're rocking, playing tunes, and then that second hour, we've delved into a little bit of sports talk, a little bit of politic talk, and just kind of rounded it out with some tunes and ended on out. And, yeah, you guys, the chat room's open. You guys join in the chat room tonight and call in. The number will be on the screen. And if you have a request, we might can get it on. Or you want to talk about sports or laugh at my face tonight. It's all good.
That's right. It's all good. Rockin' Friday, Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher tonight, 8 p.m. So for our Rockin' Friday, we've got a tune. And one of the things we've been doing now, too, is like the Rockin' Friday tune is kind of a preview for what you're going to get on tonight's show. So we play more from this artist. If you want to hear more of it, just listen to tonight's show. Who do we got tonight?
Yeah, it's given us a little another road to help promote these bands. And so today we've actually kind of getting a little personal. We've got one of our teammates, man. He's Steve Travesty, and he's on the East Coast there, and he is a big-time Normal supporter, the UConn, Connecticut Normal chapter, and he's always out there. He's tabling. He's doing things by day, and then at night, he's a freaking rock star, and he's in this band, and it just was perfect time for Halloween, man. You know, Halloween's like a, it's kind of like a holiday for maybe zombies.
Zombies.
And being that zombies are brain dead.
There
seemed
we go.
Like a good tie-in for our friend Steve. And so his band, Braindead, they were founded in the summer of 1998 in the Bronx. And since the beginning, Braindead has always had a bunch of lineup changes, but they've kept going, man. It seems like they've had a different player every few years, and the band just continues to rock in different clubs out there on the East Coast, UConn, New York area. So you guys check them out. Sound hadn't really been described by anything, but it's definitely dark, abstract, and brutal. So at the moment, if you're a drummer, and you have to be able to handle those double bass, man, because these guys are blast beats, but if you're a drummer, they're looking for a drummer. So get in touch with them. You can get in touch with them at braindeadband.com or on MySpace, braindeadband, you know, the slash, and they probably have a Facebook page, too. And so the song is five-dimensional something, man. It's just a freaking brutalized machine, man. And you guys look for us tonight on Normal Rocks, and we'll see you. Have a good one. Be safe.
Thanks, Herb. This is Braindead with Five-Dimensional Apprehension on Rockin' Friday on your Normal Network's Daily Toker Tunes.
Now I see you, but my days, you've been raised, it's dying, and I'm fine.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Which of you are ready to admit to having used marijuana in the past? And they want us to go around and ask each of you. Senator Kerry? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Lieber?
Well, you know, I have a reputation for giving unpopular answers at Democratic debates. I never use marijuana. Sorry.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Senator.
Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine. Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine. Everything will be just fine.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101, by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Do you really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Hear me, say.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Mary, quite contrary. How does her garden grow? Don't ask me. I'm just the voiceover guy. Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Normal Show Live's Cultivators Corner.
All right, Danny is back from the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Detroit, ready to take on some cultivation questions. How you doing, Danny?
Oh, I am great. We had a great time in Detroit. You know, a couple of setbacks here and there, but overall an amazing event. And if you check out John Sinclair's latest column in the Detroit Free Press, it's pretty interesting. It's called Raise High the Cup, and it's about, you know, the incremental steps that we're taking to, you know, make these celebrations, you know, a part of activism and a part of, you know, pushing back against what's been going on lately. And, yeah, now we have Amsterdam right around the corner. Just maybe 2.5-3 weeks, we'll be over there with a bunch of amazing acts, including Windstrong, who's the guy who sings my theme song, the Free Weed song for the podcast.
Free
so
Weed!
We may even see a live performance of the Free Weed song. So we'll see.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. So, you know, we heard that there was issues at the Cannabis Cup there from, you know, the cops shutting down the medicating area to harassing glass vendors and all of that. Can you give us a report on that? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, there was like, you know, one guy who just had it out for us and, you know, pretty high up in that department. And so they ended up, you know, shutting down the smoking area and, trying to, you know, get people for paraphernalia sales in the same place as where a bar would be. So, but, you know, we had our lawyer, Matt Abel, on the ground there, who's a
great normal supporter and lawyer. And, you know, he worked with them to basically arrange to make sure that the event would go on and that we would, you know, acquiesce to whatever it is that they demanded. And, you know, we didn't want anybody getting arrested. We didn't want any trouble. We just wanted to celebrate, you know, the medical cannabis victories in Michigan and galvanize the local population to, you know, basically push back against, you know, this. This was voted in by 63% of the people there. So, obviously they want less regulation and less of this pushback. And so ultimately, you know, we turned it into something where we could try to, unite people there in, you know, in solidarity against the pushback by their governor and by people in their legislature. So, you know, we feel like, you know, even though there were some setbacks, I think it was a great unifying sort of thing for people there. And I think that they saw that, you know, they need to push back because there is this, you know, there's still that stigma against us. So.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, and it's great, great stuff that you guys are doing out there. I want to remind everyone, that we are taking your live questions here at, 1:30 Pacific in the 1:30 Pacific spot here. If you're listening on a replay, don't call in, but call in now at 971-533-7111 and ask one of America's best experts in marijuana cultivation any question you'd like, or you can send them in through our chat room. And for the chatters out there, if you guys could PM those to me, personal message to me, because it flies by in the chat so fast and I don't have Carrie here to catch them. So if you PM them to me, I can go to a separate window and catch those. Our first question here comes from Uncle Viper, who wants to know, will using colloidal silver to prevent diseases cause plants to turn male or hermy?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Before I answer that, I definitely want to say congratulations on your 800th plus show.
Thank you.
That's really amazing, and it's a having done 8 shows, I guess 1% of that many. I really understand exactly how much work and effort and incredible amount of planning and things went into that. So congratulations on
that.
That is absolutely amazing, and. You know, I definitely wanted to mention that. As far as colloidal silver goes, yeah, that is one of the things that people use in order to stress plants out. There's a number of other chemicals out there, including gibberellic acid and things containing gibberellic acid that will do the same sort of thing. And basically, it just shocks the plant. Almost anything you do, even messing with the light cycles, sometimes can shock certain plants into going hermy. The only benefit to that really is if you're a breeder and you're trying to get, you know, pollen that doesn't have male genetics in it, which is used for creating feminized seed strains and things like that. But ultimately, it's not something you really want to do. I mean, any stressing out of plants is going to harm the plant and harm the progeny, prodigy as well. You know, I mean, for breeding purposes, I would say, you know, gibberellic acid probably works better than colloidal silver in order to switch plants around. But the only people who really need to be doing that are people who are creating seeds for a specific part of the market.
Okay. I've got a question for you with the plants that I'm growing right at the moment. We've moved them into the flowering stage. They're getting 12 and 12. They're under a 600-watt ballast. I got two of these plants. One's, you know, one's about twice as big as the other. It's like a big brother, or big sister, little sister, I guess would be a better analogy. But, what I'm experiencing here is a little bit of, you know, some of the leaves are a little yellow and a few of them get a little crispy and, kind of crunchy on the end and have died. We're watering regularly. We're testing the moisture and everything. Everything's fine there. What, as far as nutrition, might we be lacking in this scenario?
To me, just from that description, it sounds like a calcium and magnesium deficiency.
Yeah, then CalMag water might help.
CalMag would help as long as it's not a reaction to like a pH variation, because a lot of times minor variations in pH will affect the ability to uptake calcium and magnesium.
Okay.
And so I would say if the pH is balanced and normal, you know, right around 6.5 or 6.0 for, you know, indoor soil.
Yeah.
Then I would think that, yeah, a CalMag supplement would be your best bet. And, you know, just start off a little bit mild and work your way up. And okay. You should see the newer growth won't have those symptoms of the burning and yellowing.
Yeah. Okay, so check the pH first, and assuming pH is okay, then move forward with CalMag. Okay, that's mm-hmm. something we'll try, and I'll have a couple other people look at that as well. Let's see, we've got a question coming in here from the chat room that wants to know, I heard cropping during flower is a big no-no, but someone I know is doing super cropping and said that's okay. Is it? And what is super cropping?
Well, super cropping is basically, you know, cropping to the extreme, but I definitely don't recommend doing it during the flowering stage. Pretty much any growing tops that have flowers forming already are going to produce a decent amount of flowers unless they're completely shaded out, you know, way low on the plant. So any kind of pruning of tops after flowering has begun is going to negatively affect your ultimate harvest. But during the vegetating stage, you really can't prune enough. I mean, almost everything you prune off is going to create two, maybe sometimes three or even more new shoots. As long as you're allowing for a decent amount of vegetating time, then that's really the time when I would say to do your pruning and super cropping. And, once the plant starts flowering, the only things you really want to cut off are lower branches that aren't going to produce much. And any kind of tops that you cut off at that point are going to, are definitely going to reduce your ultimate yield.
All right. We are speaking with Danny Danko, High Time Senior Cultivation Expert, Editor, however else you want to put it. And we're taking your questions live here at 971-533-7111 if you want to use the old telephone, or if you want to chat and just get in on chat, send it to me in a private message. Got a question here from Quint who wants to know, what is your ideal brand of organic nutrients?
Well, you know, ultimately the greatest organic nutrients are the ones you make yourself. That would be compost tea and you know, basically that requires, composting and then using that compost in a bag in a barrel and oxygenating it and then using that as a foliar feed and a plant feed. I really like the products that, made by Canna. I like Earth Juice is a company that makes really good ones. Age Old Organics is a really good company. So, you know, there's a bunch out there. The guano, the companies that make the dry guano are great too as well because you can apply that. That's a wonderful organic nutrient for flowering plants. So, liquid seaweed, Alaska, the fish company, is there's a bunch of great organic companies out there.
Right on. Okay, thanks for that. We are speaking with Danny Danko, author of the High Times Guide to Marijuana Strains, an excellent book that you ought to pick up as well, available at hightimes.com, I'm sure. Now, do we have a new episode of Free Weed coming up for next week?
Yeah, absolutely. I've just been traveling so much lately. I apologize to my Free Weed fans, but I will be back with another episode next week. We tape Monday and Tuesday, and we'll air on Wednesday, so... we will have a brand new episode, and we're definitely excited about it. And, you know, we're looking for sponsors, too, if anybody's out there and wants to help out with sponsorships. And, I'm excited about it. We're going to get some good guests and really try to lock it out.
Yeah, let's have that, you know, because you get the chance to go into much more depth than we have in our little, you know, 15, 20-minute segment that we have here once a month. So I'm so excited that you've got a weekly podcast, an hour long. Actually, you guys go longer than an hour, don't you?
So, yeah, we have ended up going longer, at least in the past few episodes, because some of the guests, we just wanted to continue talking. So, you know, we go a little longer, and hopefully that'll encourage people to download the full episode as well and subscribe to it. And, you know, that'll just help us overall with gaining support.
Right on. And we got time for one more question, but before we go, if people want to send you a question, you know, they didn't have time to get it in on this show, or maybe they want to send you a question for your other podcast, for the Free Weed podcast, how can they send that to you?
Well, there's always Twittering at Danny Danko with the hashtag Free Weed. We have at High Times Mag Twitter, Facebook, my email. You can email deardanko@hightimes.com. And, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I still get handwritten snail mail questions as well from people who may, you know, might not trust the whole digital way of doing things. So pretty much any which way you want to get them to me, I'll try to answer them, whether it be in print or on my show or on this show or any possible way I can.
All right. Well, let's get to that last question. Do you recommend using microbe teas and creating a biofilm on vegetative plants?
That's what I touched on a little bit with the composting. When you foliar feed during the vegetative stage, meaning, you know, you spray that oxygenated tea onto the leaves, and especially the top and the bottom of the leaves, they're able to actually not only take in nutrients from it, but also it also protects them from diseases and molds and pests as well. It really creates like almost a force field at the surface of your leaves. And so I really highly recommend spraying it during that vegetative stage.
All right. Thank you for the answers, Danny. We always appreciate having you here every fourth Friday on our Normal Show Live Cultivator's Corner. And we're looking forward to next Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Free Weed from Danny Danko. Danny, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Russ. Thanks a lot. And congrats again on 800 shows.
Thank you so much. When we come back, we're going to have time for a little radical rant on how the media is treating the tragic death of a 13-year-old boy in a way to demonize cannabis. You'll be shocked and maybe not that surprised. We're back after this.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to The Normal Network.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Herb Thrasher of Normal Rocks, and you need to be reminded that we are live every Friday night at 8 p.m. on the Normal Network. Replays at Saturday at 7 p.m., Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. for your wake and bake. Cheers.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, this is Radical Russ from Normal Show Live. We're proud to be the voice of the marijuana nation and proud to have you on our team. Now, you can represent NSL in your own Normal Show Live gear from handmadeapparel.biz. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel is one of us and a huge supporter of our show. He's designed the classic blockhead line of NSL shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Worn by Radical Russ, Cannabis Carry, and Ganja John on the show and at live events, the designs feature their iconic logos and the It's Got to Be 420 Somewhere in the World tagline. Proceeds directly benefit Normal Show Live and HandmadeApparel.biz, one of our community's strongest supporters. You can also get your Cannabis Cure UK, Ganja John Show, Irie Island Hour, and more gear from the Normal Network at HandmadeApparel.biz. Visit HandmadeApparel.biz today.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
You know, week after week, I cover a lot of the reprehensible, disgusting tactics undertaken by law enforcement to try to scare the public about marijuana. But this morning, I think I may have reached my limit as to how just offensive these people can be. There's a story that we covered back in June about a teen, a 13-year-old, named Brandon Rice, and the news outlets now are reporting the tragic death of this 13-year-old boy. Actually, he's 14 now, in Pennsylvania. We reported on his story earlier this year, so you had to imagine my surprise when I saw this headline from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Youth dies months after smoking medical marijuana. Medical marijuana. Now look, for those of you who missed the initial reporting of Brandon's story, what the story was is that this teen had smoked K2, the synthetic cannabinoid that they spray on incense, and he smoked it with a plastic Pez dispenser. Yeah, that's right. He lit fire to a piece of plastic and inhaled it. And it's the K2 that killed the boy, right? Yeah. Now, the Gazette has since fixed their headline. The headline now says, youth dies months after smoking synthetic marijuana, and they've reposted it with some variations. But again, that's not the story. And it's not just the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette here, which is kind of known for this kind of scaremongering on marijuana. The Associated Press, which should know better, which should have some journalistic integrity here, and it was also reposted by Huffington Post, which should have some journalistic integrity here, they reported that the boy had received a double lung transplant but succumbed to his injuries this morning. Here's the quote from the AP. The boy smoked fake marijuana out of a plastic Pez candy dispenser. The chemicals in the drugs caused extensive damage to his lungs. Brandon was put on a respirator in June and had a double lung transplant in September. So we're to assume here that it was the K2 that scarred the boy's lungs and not the freaking fumes from the melting plastic of a Pez dispenser? Look, I've got a post up on the blog at stash.normal.org about K2 in St. Louis. It's one of my most commented on piece. There's over 230 comments on this piece from various people who have used K2. Some of them are warning people, you know, don't try this K2. It's some bad shit. It messed me up. Other people saying, I've tried K2 many, many times, and it seemed to be okay with me, and I didn't have much problems with it. Not one comment has come across saying, it scarred my lungs. It caused me to have a lung transplant, and it killed me. Now, to continue on with this media disgust here on this story, Investment Watch, another website that I looked up that was reporting this story, continues the demonization of synthetic cannabinoids and not the plastic Pez dispenser. Quote, Tanya Rice, the mother, told the Pittsburgh Tribune Review newspaper, Brandon was put on a respirator in June after smoking spice, fake cannabis, which is said to be 10 times more dangerous than cocaine. Aha. Uh-huh. Who out there is saying that spice is 10 times more dangerous than cocaine? Because you know what? We got some fairly good statistics on the danger of cocaine. A recent study just came out of the Institute of Legal Medicine in Seville, Spain, published in the European Heart Journal, showed that more than 3% of all sudden deaths that occurred in southwest Spain were attributed to cocaine usage. So don't tell me that spice, which we have yet to hear of many deaths immediately, you know, people smoke it and drop dead, right? Cocaine, you can smoke it and drop dead right that minute. It's not happening with K2. There's no way it's 10 times more dangerous than cocaine. Now, not to be cruel or insensitive about this boy's death, because it is a tragedy, but he didn't suddenly die from the acute effects of K2 use. He used it in June. He got very ill. He was given a double lung transplant, and he died from an infection because of his lowered immune system in October, right? June, he smoked K2. October, he dies from an infection, not from the K2 itself. All right. Now, to compare, let's compare it again, because they said cocaine, 10 times more dangerous than the spice, right? Cocaine can give you a heart attack by overdose the minute you snort, smoke, or inject it, versus a synthetic cannabinoid that was smoked through plastic, requiring a double lung transplant, leading to a fatal infection 4 months later in the hospital that kills one boy. Look, I'm not trying to say K2 is safe. It ain't. but it's not 10 times more dangerous than cocaine. The only reasons this K2 spice shit is even on the store shelves is because, one, adults who want real cannabis that has never killed anyone or ever scarred anyone's lungs aren't allowed to have it. And two, the adults who get the real cannabis anyway are piss tested for it. And the only reason anyone would smoke anything through a Pez dispenser is because some states, like Pennsylvania, make such draconian paraphernalia laws against glass, wood, and stone pipes. Brandon's parents, however, didn't see the fact that prohibition led to these circumstances, and instead have been crusading to fight for even more prohibitions. Another quote from the newspaper here. Since Brandon's hospitalization, the Rice family has spoken out about the drug which has damaged their son's lungs. With brand names such as K2, Spice, Blaze, Ivory Wave, White Rush, Starry Nights, and Vanilla Sky, in hopes other children will not be harmed. A bill to ban synthetic marijuana in Pennsylvania was signed June 28th, just weeks after the Southmoreland 8th grader was placed on a respirator. More than 30 states have also banned the drug, and others are considering it. Look, for everyone out there who's screaming, what about the children when we bring up marijuana legalization? For everyone out there who worries that if we legalize pot, then teenage boys would have greater access to pot, ask yourself this question. Would you rather be a mom and dad chewing your kid out because you found his pipe and stash of natural cannabis? Or would you rather be a mom and a dad planning your kid's funeral because he tried a more dangerous way of getting a marijuana high? Because look, banning K2, Spice, Ivory Wave, White Rush, Starry Nights, Vanilla Sky isn't gonna work. It'll just lead to newer versions of synthetic cannabinoids that haven't been banned yet. I mean, didn't the seven brand names listed give you that clue already? Ban these, they'll tweak another part of the chemical and make a new version that might even be more deadly and dangerous. And really, if you're really concerned and you really think that prohibition is the best way to protect your kids' lungs, then why aren't you marshaling your resources to prohibit Marlboro, Camel, Pall Mall, Kool, Virginia Slims, Lucky Strike, and Winston, huh? Look, I don't mean to diss on the family. You know, I know they're going through a tragedy, and this is a terrible thing that has happened. It's a sad one, and I mourn the loss of this child. We don't advocate children doing any drugs, period, except for medical reasons. And even in that case, I can think a lot of those medical reasons are being a bit overprescribed to our kids. Ritalin, we're looking your way. But it wasn't synthetic pot that killed Brandon Rice. It was the prohibition that brought him the synthetic pot. And it was the lack of education that led him to smoke through plastic. And it was an infection after a lung transplant that killed this boy. Shame on the media for trying to blame this on K2 and by extension blame this on marijuana when it was a simple case of inhaling plastic fumes. Look, if you'd like to donate to this to the family and for their funeral expenses, I've got the links up at our blog at stash.normal.org. You can contact www.cotaforbrandonr.com if you want to make donations for his funeral and other arrangements. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back at 8 o'clock with Urban Thrasher for Normal Rocks. And until next time, take care of each other, jokers. Happy Halloween.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.